And a welcome to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, March the 5th, in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and because today is Ruminations Thursday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How are you?
I'm doing better. My cough isn't near as bad. I preached twice yesterday and got through both sermons pretty good with a couple of coughs, but had a lot of fun doing it. What's the subject that you've helped me find for today?
Should we, as Christians, support Israel?
Well, you know, the Prime Minister spoke to the Congress, and he had some things to say, and there are those who think we should support Israel. That seems like an odd question, since they're an ally of the United States. But is there something more to that on the part of some evangelicals?
There's a whole lot more. As you know, I sent you about 5-6 articles.
Yes.
And they were representative of the thousands of articles that have been written out there. After a while, they just kind of ran the same theme, which said that we as Christians should support Israel. There's one whole view that talks about that as the nation state, and that's where we find our whole choosing of God chose them to be the special people, and through them we're going to be blessed if we follow the nation state of Israel. And that's a kind of a man's point of view.
What do you mean by that?
Well, by that I mean, if you look, well, let's back it up a point. You know, as Christians, we follow what the scriptures have to say, and the Jews would say the same thing, especially of the Old Testament. And non-believing in Christ would not accept the New Testament. But if we're going to, as Christians, say we're going to support the Israelis, we also have to go back to the scriptures and say, what do they have to say? In some of this, their foundational principle is out of Deuteronomy chapter, 7?
Yes, verses 6-8.
Right. In there, it tells us that they're chosen of God.
Yes, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Now, it's really important to understand what is the object of that. Is it really the nation Israel, the land of Israel? Or, for example, in that same article, here's what they say. Jews are, biblically speaking, the chosen people of God and dearly loved by him. Now, there they're saying there's not a distinction between Jews and Israel. Would we agree with that?
No. Israel is a whole special context for us as Christians today. And of course, they're referring back to Father Abraham. And it's not just only the Jews, but the Christians and also the Muslims look to Father Abraham, in which all the nations are going to be blessed. But then if you really look to Abraham, you look to what Paul talks about in Romans and in Galatians, that is by faith that we are made righteous, and Abraham believed and God credited to him as righteousness, which comes out of Genesis.
You can't be more clear than Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Now listen, not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, but because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So there's a clear passage in the Bible that just because you can, you know, point your heritage back to Abraham doesn't mean that you're part of Israel, even though they're of the nation of Israel. In fact, he explains it even more in verse 8. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God. That means those who can trace their lineage back to Abraham, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. And he goes on to explain that that is those who trust the promise of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They are the new Israel, both Jew and Gentile. And so I think what evangelicals are doing who want to support the nation of Israel, they're getting mixed up between the nation of Israel and the house of Israel, which is in reality the Holy Christian Church.
Church, you betcha. And I think therein lies when we look at the whole nation of Israel, we're talking about a physical nation versus a spiritual nation, which is the house of God. And we look at all the Christians out there as part of the house of God, the spiritual house. We see, for instance, the Egyptian Christians that were beheaded by ISIS and in Libya, and we say that's Israel under persecution. Or we see Christians being arrested in Syria by ISIS and say that's Israel being persecuted.
So all the Bible verses that they use in the Old Testament that talk about Israel going to be a blessing to many nations is really talking about the Holy Christian Church being a blessing to many nations, not that particular land of Israel.
Right. Well, and that's in particular, that's going back to Genesis, where God said that Abraham believed and God credited to him as righteousness. It's all those who believe in the promise, and you pointed that out in the Romans passage. We are children of the promises that are connected right in there with our Lord Jesus Christ.
So as to the question, should Christians support the nation of Israel? As Lutherans, we might answer yes to that, but not on the grounds of theology, but on the grounds of politics.
Politics, you know, even as Christians, we would say we're not about exterminating races or cultures because they disagree with us.
Right.
On particular issues or things like that. But race, color, or creed, we would support that they need to be safe and sound and able to carry their lives forward.
So that a Christian pastor would not necessarily say we need to really support Israel because of the Old Testament, but he would say, no, Israel is fighting for its life. There are nations and leaders who said they want to exterminate Israel, so Israel is an ally. But even there, I don't think the pastor should make a statement as to how we best support Israel. That's really left up to individual citizens and politicians, because a pastor has no more insight into that than anybody else might have.
I would agree with you there. I mean, we can't sit there and second-guess our government. That's what we do at the election booth. You know, we unelect them or we elect them, but we certainly support our government in trying to ask that they take care of a nation state like Israel and keep them from extinction or being sat upon by other nations. And it's anywhere that we go, whether it's Christians in Libya or Christians in Syria or Christians elsewhere in the world, we would ask that they be kept safe as well.
Yes, because we're living in a time when a number of Muslims have their medieval view of the world. Therefore, they are attacking various nations. And if Canada was attacked, I believe the United States would help support and defend Canada because they know they would be next, but they wouldn't be doing it on the basis of any religious principles that Canada is a special nation. And so when we support Israel, we should do so on the basis of those kinds of understandings rather than, well, the Bible is pointing to that specific land as being the fulfillment of promises of blessings to the rest of the world.
Yes, I would agree with you. And I think it comes back to almost that question of who is my neighbor, you know, and one interpretation has been that person next to me, you know, whether it's my next door neighbor in my community or my county or my state or my nation.
Yes.
How do I take care of them?
One of the statements that you sent me, the declaration that salvation is from the Jews, suggests our immeasurable debt to Israel. All that we have worth having has come to us through the Jews. Well, that's not really accurate, because even God allowed the Babylonian captivity to take place because of the unbelieving Jews at that time. So what we really are looking to are the believers among the Jews, among the Israelites, and of course, even in the Old Testament, because God sent Jonah to Nineveh, that was a Gentile town, but that also was to be a blessing, and it was a blessing, and it came from an Israelite, namely Jonah. Now, he didn't want to go until he was forced to go, but the fact is that just because we can point to the Bible making Israel the chosen people of God, they weren't chosen in the sense of to be saved, but through them, many would be saved.
Right, yeah. You take that little slice that salvation is from the Jews, and of course you're talking about John chapter 4, and the woman at the Samaritan well there.
Yes.
But if you go further in that, as Jesus is talking to her about this, the woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming. He is the one who is called Christ, that he comes and he will declare all things to us. And of course, Jesus says, I, who you speak to, am he. So, you know, there was a reference to just what you've just talked about, that it was salvation through Christ.
Well, he even, you know, she was worshiping at a different place than Jerusalem. And he says in verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. This, of course, refers to believers.
Right. And I think therein lies when we're looking at this whole context of how we support Israel and on a Christian basis, we have to go back to the scriptures and use all of it, and not little bits and pieces here to prove our points, but let the scriptures interpret the scriptures.
That's a Lutheran principle, and that's why God makes very clear in Romans 9 through 11 that Israel is the Christian church, and those who believe the promise are those who are members of the true Israel. So salvation still comes through Israel, because the message of the church is to trust in the promises of the gospel. And would you share what the promises of the gospel are in contrast to the promises of the law?
Well, the promises of the gospel, we can wrap up in John chapter 3 when Jesus and Nicodemus is speaking, and Jesus says it so clearly. He said, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's all who trust in those promises that Christ died upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And during the season of Lent, when we are going on Wednesday evenings and hearing various Lent series, we reflect upon the words of the cross where we hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, or my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or it is finished. You know, the sacrifices that he makes upon that cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, regardless of race, color, or creed.
Yes, in the program prior to us, Pastor Zwanitzer was interviewing Nabil Noor, who is the vice president of the Synod. They were doing a Bible study, and he also used John 3:16 and talked about, for God so loved the cosmos, is the word in the Greek, which means the entire world. So that means that even though all Jews might not be of the saved, as all Gentiles are not, it doesn't mean we don't love them. So this idea of loving people of peace and helping to defend their land against aggression, that comes out not out of theology, but out of a love that we're to have for all people because Christ has died for all of them.
You betcha. And it gives to us, you know, and saving them from extinction also gives us that opportunity to turn around and talk to them about the good news of Jesus Christ.
So we have some articles here, and one article you sent me, Why Christians Should Support Israel, was entitled The Apple of His Eye, and they gave seven solid Bible reasons why Christians should support Israel, using Scripture, the prophets, the patriarchs, Mary, Joseph, the 12 disciples, the apostles. But here's what they conclude with. It is not possible to say I'm a Christian and not love the Jewish people. Well, the problem is it's not possible to say I'm a Christian and not love the Muslim people. Because we're to love all people. I mean, they didn't need to give all those benefits that Israel had in order to give us a reason to love them. We're to love all people.
Yeah, that I wrote in my notes next to it is it's man works, not God works. It forgets where real love comes from. And that's, you know, Adnur or myself using John 3:16. God loved the world. It's God's love, not our love. It's God's word, love that transforms the world.
And it's not a love based on, being a relationship to God. That would be phileo. It's agape, which means it's a love that God gives to all people, even his enemies. Because as the Bible says, the reason we love God is because he first loved us.
Yes. Betcha. Well, and you know, those reasons that you mentioned before, they really come down to some kind of man reason that somehow we got something and we are very appreciative to that other group that did it. But it's not that. It's about Jesus. And really, when you talk about the chosen of God, God chose the Jewish people to come from and die upon the cross.
So that even though we appreciate that God did give salvation through the Jews or from the Jews, it's not true today that all of Israel, that is, those who are considered as Jews and trace their lineage back to Abraham, are part of the Christian church.
No, it's only, as you said, from Romans chapter 9, we let the scriptures speak, that it's through the promises that are connected to our Lord Jesus Christ.
And those promises are the gospel.
The gospel, yeah. And the other one that we hadn't talked about really was Galatians chapter 3. You know, in Galatians 3, Abraham believed and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham.
Yes. Yeah, as Romans 9 says, that when we talk about the children of the promise, we're really talking about Isaac in contrast to Ishmael. In other words, Ishmael, you know, is the one that the Muslims look to, whereas Isaac is the one the Christians look to. And Isaac was the one that was given the promise that through him all the nations would be blessed. That's why it's such faith that Abraham was willing to kill Isaac, sacrifice him as God instructed, believing that God would even bring him back from the death of a knife and a burning on the altar.
Very well said. And I think that's what we need to keep in mind when we make this whole discussion of supporting Israel, is spiritual Israel versus physical Israel. And what we're talking about is the spiritual Israel, which is the Christian church, which is believers everywhere of every race, color, and creed.
In Lutheran theology, we make a distinction between the two kingdoms, the spiritual kingdom, which is the church, and the temporal kingdom, which is a government. We're simply saying that support for Israel, if it comes about, should be on the basis of governmental reasons. And I think there are those who have made a persuasive case that Israel is an ally to the United States, and to defend them is, in a sense, also going to be defending us. But it's not because of the spiritual promises in the Bible that are referring to the land of Israel.
I would agree with you. And I think the other physical reason that we would support them is we don't want to see an annihilation of a culture or a race.
It's clear the Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran has indicated that his goal is to eradicate the land of Israel.
Yes, and I think therein lies the tragedy. You can use religion for a false purpose, and there we see it being used as a false purpose as Christians. And they claim to come out of that Christian tradition somewhat. Is supposed to be one of that agape love that you're talking about. We would love our Jewish neighbors, our Muslim neighbors, Arabic, whatever race they are, because Jesus died upon the cross and rose for them as well.
Yeah, Pastor Neuer was talking about, remember, he was from Palestine. I think he left when he was 12 years old. But he has baptized his grandchildren, and to each one of them he's given a cross, and his hope is that they also will baptize their children and give them a cross too. They're Christian, and that's the greatest good news that one can hear. And even though they're not Jewish, just like you and I aren't, they're still part of the kingdom of God.
God, and of course in that baptism, part of that baptism, right, he said, receive the sign of the cross, both upon the forehead and upon the heart, to mark you as one who's been redeemed by Christ the crucified.
And that redemption comes about in the same way for us today as it came for Abraham. Remember, he believed, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness.
You betcha. And that's why it's so important that we remind ourselves, not only as we support Israel or other groups of people, or that we need to take that good news with our mission efforts. Our congregations set up their mission budgets every year to reach out with that good news of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so any preaching or anything you'll be doing in the near future?
Yeah, I got a pastor that's got out with his back. I'm up at Zion Lincoln this weekend, Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois.
What time are the services?
8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. We're on the air up there in locally in Lincoln.
Boy, you're going to be on the radio a number of times this weekend.
I was on it last night at Havana. I was filling in for a rotation for Lent.
Oh, wow. What you preach on?
It's interesting. They're having a round robin with the pastors.
Oh, yes.
And they're doing the penitent Psalms, and I did Psalms 102, the affliction of the penitent.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that in more length. But I sure appreciate you being on right now, Pastor, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, God bless. And that was Pastor Wes Reimnitz here on KFUO on Ruminations Thursday. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. This gives you an opportunity to ask any theological question. Now, I know the majority of you don't listen live to this because you're working, but you do listen on the archives. So this gives you an opportunity to write me any questions you might want me to answer. The email address to send it to is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That word "and" is written out, and the 101 is numbers. So lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. We already have an email or two that we're going to be responding to, but more would be helpful, as well as your ability to call in at 1-800-730-2727. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, thanking you so much for listening to Law and Gospel at this time. And if you would like to support our program, go to our website, lawandgospel101.com, bottom of the page, and you can contribute. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.